Welcome to the How the Heck Have You Been podcast. I'm Mark, and as the title would suggest, I just call up a bunch of people I haven't talked to forever and ask them how the heck they have been. So here's some intro music and the show. All right, this is my conversation with Bailey Mata, the OG tuba chick, as we used to call them back in the day. Maybe that term doesn't still hold up anymore, but I'll use it nonetheless. Bailey, I would have sworn, was in band with me at LD Bell for all 3 years, but turns out she was only there for like maybe the first week, and then she went to do other things, as we discussed. So this was a little practice in false memories and how they can fool us. But we talk about her life, what she's been doing since we last met. Hope you enjoy. There she is. Let's see. Hello? Oh my gosh, hi. It's Bailey Mata. Hey. What's up?
All How's the way- it going?
Good, from Denver, Colorado.
Sorry, we stopped this crazy washing machine.
Oh no, it's got nice ambiance. What's up? It's good to see you.
Not a whole lot, man. It's good to see you.
Yeah, I think it must have been since 2004 that we last have seen each other.
I think so.
Nice. How the heck have you been?
I've been doing pretty good, man. Living life, and I don't know, trying to be as happy as I can.
God, it's hard sometimes. It's rough. It just keeps getting rougher too. All right, so let's back it up, because you were one of the first tuba chicks ever. I don't know if ever. I think there was one before you, a couple graduating classes that we never met. I think they said there was.
I'm not really sure.
Annals of LD Bell marching band history.
Right? It was always a weird situation because we started in junior high, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I had never played really an instrument before. And I walked in there and I was like, I'm going to be cool. I'm going to be one of the cool kids and be on the drum line or like play the trumpet or something. And I forgot what his name was, like Mr. Thomas or something.
Yeah, Thomas.
Like that.
Justin tall, Thomas.
Yeah, the tall dude. And he looked at me and he goes, "You've got tuba lips. You're gonna be playing the tuba." I was like, what nice. The heck?
Well, I was supposed to be trombone, but it overlapped with the Miss Banner's English class, I think, or maybe it was Miss Dunn that seventh grade year. So apparently, I had really great trombone chops, but then they bumped me down to tuba. So who was in that Hearst Junior High? Because you were in that seventh grade, you know, the private lesson class, right?
Yeah.
God, that was so
for sure we had.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It was always us, and I remember like I tried my very best to be really good at it, but because you were first chair for like our entire tuba career.
Was I? I don't remember being. I feel like John Anderson may have given me a run for my money. Maybe we went back and forth.
No, it was always you guys, but I was never really very good because I didn't ever like take my tuba home to practice because it was just so huge.
It was a pain. Did we have to take them home, or I feel like they gave us some practice ones, didn't they?
They gave us like, we were allowed to go like before or after school and go in like little room to practice on our own.
I do remember you hauling it back and forth.
That's I had to funny. Walk. I had to walk with that thing, and that's why.
That's right. So you walked to school. I am recalling that now, seeing you a couple times, and then that's funny, because it was you, me, John Anderson, Ben. There was a kid named Benjamin. What was his last name? I forget. Lauren Denson and I. She's now Dan Hoff, but we were just talking about that kid Ben because she had some story to tell about him. I forget what it was, but I was like, oh yeah. And there was at least one other kid, but that's going way back.
I think there were like five of us. Yeah.
I have the Hearst Junior High yearbook. Where is that?
Oh man, I didn't dig mine out. Mine's in the closet with all my seventh grade.
But it's funny too, because not to throw shade at the yearbook staff. I'm sure they were doing their best, but I sponsored yearbook a couple of years at my school, and it's so bad compared to today's. It's like all black and white. There's just a couple captions, no cropping of any images. They just kind of threw them on here. So it's hard to see because I don't think there's a tuba line picture. It was just the bands and stuff. Oh man, there's Rianne concert band. It's so small. There's so few of us in these band pictures. That's crazy compared to Bell. So it was, yeah, so I have vivid memories of that room. It was like a little private practice room, and it was just Mr. Thomas, which is funny because his father-in-law was my scoutmaster. His wife's
Oh, cool.
Dad was our scoutmaster, so I knew him pretty well because then I took private lessons at his house for a year, I think. Mr. Thomas. And I don't know what he's doing now. I don't think he's still teaching.
Hopefully he's somewhere like woosawing something or
I know,
some
right?
calm energy.
He did have some, he was very even keeled, yeah, compared to some of the other band directors we had. And then there was Mr. Not Hamburger. What was his name? The our last year, something Burger.
Oh,
I
so
can't
like,
remember. He
was
was
like
a cool guy.
Roethlisberger or something. I don't
Something like
know.
that. Toby would know because Toby really liked him.
Yeah.
And
He
then
was
before.
always really good too.
Oh yeah, he actually practiced. I don't think I really practiced at all. I didn't
Don't
pra
think
I
I
didn't
really
know. I
practiced.
feel like I didn't know half the LD Bell show. I was just like kind of improvising through some of it, you know. Like we never really learned all of those little trills or runs of the tuba parts. But
It was mostly scales and stuff,
yeah.
right?
All right.
Yeah.
So what's your takeaway from Hearst Junior High as just in general experience? Did you enjoy it at all?
I liked junior high. I didn't think that it was too bad. I moved elementary schools when like between fifth and sixth grade, because I moved from Euless to Hearst, and so I came in with brand new people at sixth grade. That was a really rough year, but I met all the people that I would begin to know for years, so it wasn't too bad in the grand scheme of things. But I think seventh grade was, I don't know, it was just like it was a really awkward time, I guess, for like any kid, you know.
Yeah, it's like the worst ever.
And I don't know, I guess you're just kind of trying to figure out who you are as a person, like what kind of things you want to do. But I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. Like, we were crazy kids, but I feel like for the most part we were pretty good. Had a good time, didn't get into too much trouble.
There's some pretty good teachers.
There were some pretty good teachers. I remember in eighth grade, I was trying to take Spanish, right? Because you had to learn a foreign language or whatever. And they gave me this Spanish teacher. I forgot what her name was, but
Was
she was
it
from Peru.
Growander? Senora Growander? Or was it different? Yes,
Yes.
yes.
Yeah,
Kind of
right?
shorter,
Like,
kind of, yeah.
she didn't really speak very good English because she was from Peru, but she did not like me at all. She came into class one time and like sprayed holy water on me and told me that it should burn. And I was like,
Are you
wait, what?
serious? Wait,
Yeah,
what?
no, I'm dead serious. So
Oh
I went
my
to the
gosh.
principal and I was like, hey, this crazy lady is like saying some awful stuff. And she was like, oh, she's just trying to raise your Christian standard. And I was like, I don't really
What?
think that I'm Christian. Like, I don't, this doesn't seem right to me.
That's an odd response too from the principal.
Well,
Say
it's Texas. What are you
what
gonna
now?
do?
Yeah.
But I refused to go back in there. And so they put me in ISS for sixth period for the rest of the year.
Oh my gosh,
Yeah.
that seems not very kosher to use
Yeah.
another to mix our religious metaphors here. You
I
had
kind of liked it
ISS for
though, because
like the
it.
entire class for the rest of the year instead of
That was my
Oh my
sixth period, yeah. It wasn't bad though, because I got all of my homework done before school let out
There
by
you
the
go.
end of the
Yeah.
day, and I didn't
Little
have to do
free study
anything. It was
hall.
all right.
So did you have to go back and take Spanish again? Like for the whole credit?
No, I ended up taking sign language when we got
Oh,
into high school.
okay. But you still had to retake the language one of the language classes for that credit.
Yeah,
Yeah.
they wouldn't let me graduate until I got
Yeah.
some sort of foreign language, but
How long was like
I
how
liked
long
sign
were you in
language.
that sixth period ISS? Was it like early in the year that they did that?
It was the majority of the year. I
Oh my
think it was like
God.
six
Jesus.
months, but I don't
Wow.
know.
Yeah, I remember. So I not to badmouth the former teacher, but I did have her for the first, I think it was the first year. So the weird thing about that was you had to take basically double. If you did it in seventh and eighth grade, that counted as one credit. And so I disliked that class so much that I decided not to take it again in eighth grade. And so I had to restart over in ninth, 10th, 11th. But yeah, I also did not have a great experience in that class.
What happened to you?
Oh, nothing. It was just not fun. I wasn't learning much Spanish, and I, you know, felt like she wasn't very helpful.
Yeah, I feel that.
Anyway. I did enjoy, I don't know, Miss. Oh, did you ever take speech in her junior high with Miss Pablis?
I want to say yes.
She was great. She was great. Yeah. Miss, I don't know if you had Miss Banner and Rogers for math.
I did.
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
And then who was, I had Coach Mendoza for history. She was funny.
Coach Mendoza was the one that was manning the six period ISS.
Oh, nice. Right? Nice. Yeah.
Because she was like a fresh 23 when we were in junior high, wasn't she? She was pretty young.
She was attractive. She was young and attractive, I will admit. Most of the male, most of us, of the people attracted to that were like, oh, okay. Yeah, that's my memory. Oh, I remember her. So she led PE for at least one of our semesters and read to us out of A Child Called It. That book about
do you remember that? About Dave Pelzer was his name.
Yeah,
and it was his autobiography about terrible things that
horrible
happened in his
child abuse. I still remember the excerpts that she read to. I mean, it was PE, so she probably shouldn't have been, but she was like, we're not going to be doing anything in this class anyway. I might as well read to you out of this book. And so.
Oh my God.
She was a trip, yeah. And she would read us like the worst parts, right? Like where
she's like, all right, the see mom how good you guys have it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was, God, that's funny. All those coaches were so like old school. I remember, maybe Coach Massey was his name. That might have been LD Bell.
Oh, I had him. He didn't really like me very much either.
Cause, he was like,
I don't know. I think we were pretty disruptive in his class though, too. He just wanted to teach. Poor guy.
Like, I mean, honestly, if you really want to change hearts and minds, you don't go into a seventh grade classroom, right? That's like just hormones flinging around the room. Nobody knows what their bodies are doing to them. You know, they're basically transforming into different creatures and are freaked out and depressed and anxious. All right, kids, let's learn history.
Let's take notes for 2 hours.
Yeah, sit still for 2 hours and take notes. Yeah, it's great. It's great. Oh man,
that was funny.
So, what did you do what did you do for your physical credit in Hirschner? Were you in PE or were you? Oh, you did football, didn't you?
I did. That's right. Yeah, I did football all 3 years. I was a middle linebacker.
Yeah, and then you were considering it at Bell too, or did they not?
Well, I wanted to play at Bell, but so I was playing. I was playing football, and then I was also playing baseball at home, like in leagues. And when I went to Bell, I wanted to play football, and they said, absolutely not. You're going to have to go in front of the school board if you want to do that, because like these boys hit hard and it can ruin your lady parts. And I was like, all right, whatever. And so
like the male parts would be actually more exposed than lady parts. But anyway,
I know, right? I don't know.
I mean, I can understand the concern if there is a vast difference of like strength and whatever, but the lady parts part just doesn't jive to me.
No, and I didn't want to go through all that again. So yeah. I said forget about it. And then I tried to play baseball, and I was like, all right, well, if I let you in with football, then will you please let me play baseball? And they were like, nope, girls play softball. We have a softball team. You can do that. And I was like, ugh. So I had to learn how to play softball because it was a completely different sport.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there's
different rules and stuff. So I did that.
There's a book called The Sports Gene that's pretty good. And it talks about how, I think it was, who was it? Maybe Mickey Mantle or something. There was a softball pitcher that challenged him to hit her balls, and he couldn't do it because, like, in baseball, you start swinging before the ball even leaves the glove. Like, your brain has to react faster than it has time to wait. And so the position of the softball pitcher, right, it like completely throws your brain for a loop if you've practiced and trained muscle memory for a normal
baseball pitch. It caught me off guard when I started playing softball, just because like what you're saying, the pitch is so different, and they're not slow by any means. It just kind of comes off the hand and from a different area. It's weird, but that was fun.
The whole gender in sports thing obviously is become even more of a interesting topic today. And like today, it's so fascinating because it's not, you know, there. It's so crazy that. What can I say without getting canceled? It's so crazy that I'm like almost don't even want to tread into it. But there is overlap of like, you know, some women could hold their own with men, and but like, how do you draw the line? If you do, you know, you don't want people to be unsafe, and I don't know. It's kind of fascinating. I've listened to a couple of good shows about it. Like Radiolab has a really good episode about it. How they do testing and how they qualify and stuff like that. But
yeah, I'm pretty sure my mom would have been behind me if I had chosen to fight them, but it was kind of one of those pick your battles things. You know what I mean? Like I had a ton going on with school and like trying to have some sort of teenage life outside of that and stuff like that. I had to choose. So
I let them have them. It is.
I actually really enjoyed high school.
Oh yeah, that like is the same. Sometimes even my wife will say like, no, I would never go back and redo it. Like, oh, I'd totally go back and do those 4 years. That was great. Those are great times.
It wasn't too bad. I don't think. I mean, I think the politics of it were a little ridiculous at times, but all in all, I kind of liked it.
And I was okay. Too naive to know about the politics. Like, I was not aware of them. So I was just like, oh, I'm just bebopping along, having a good time. But what do you mean when you say that, when you say politics?
I don't know, just like ridiculous.
Let's hear the drama, Bailey. Let it out. Let it out.
Yeah, let me give some tea over here. So I was, I don't know if you remember this guy that I was dating in high school. His name is Ed, and he was a grade above me, but he was this big, burly dude.
Oh,
he was
an
acapella stuff, and he had a big, huge red beard and like long hair. And he just like, I don't know, just his personality. He likes to go against the grain, but from like a not so educated standpoint, like I guess he just liked to try and challenge the authority at times. And we ended up getting like tattoos and stuff while we were still in high school. And they were not very happy about it. They were like trying to make us cover them up and stuff. And he ended up getting a bunch of them on his arm, and he wasn't about to cover any of that business up. So they had a fun time with him about that. And then one day he got like this leather vest, like, I don't know, like a biker vest or something like that. But it had this big rebel flag on the back. And one of our assistant principals was... he was an African-American man.
Oh, yeah.
And he was really, like, he was super tall, and he was actually a really nice guy. But he was like, hey, you can't wear that in school. And he was like, watch me. And he would put it on all the time and, like, just mess with him, you know, unnecessarily. And so they ended up kicking him out of school.
Wow.
And do you remember Central Junior High had that Keys program where they sent all the bad kids?
Yes, yeah, like the alternative school, yeah.
Yeah, they made him graduate from that. Oh, like, they wouldn't even let him back.
Oh my God, was it for that mainly, for the jacket? Yeah.
It was, that was the last straw.
Yeah.
But, I don't know.
Well, nowadays it's the other way around. The schools are more embracing more of the conservative bit. It's funny that the role reversal there, yeah, but that's not cool. I really liked him. Was he a counselor or assistant principal?
He was an assistant principal.
Okay. I'm trying to remember his name. It wasn't I can't remember his name. I liked him too. He wasn't mine though, I think. He was in terms of the alphabet. But yeah. Yeah, that'll get you. Yeah. It's really kind of mind-blowing how much control school administrations can have over this? Like, how can you tell me what to tattoo on my body or what to show? Like, I don't know. I can see dress code because you can just change it. But if it's your tattoo, you know, and if you're like from a Pacific Island, you know, culture that's part of your religion or part of your culture, like, would they allow that? And not, I don't know. Yeah, it's wild.
They were pretty strict about hair color too.
Yeah, not so it, man. That has all changed. I don't know if you're like, I worked at a Grapevine High School and then a Grapevine Colleyville School. And I mean, dress code was not, I mean, you could color your hair whatever you want. We had scenes with tattoos and we were a little more lax at the small school, but yeah, it's loosened up a little bit.
Yeah, man, let them be kids.
I definitely get the anti-establishment type mentality because it can get pretty authoritarian pretty quick. Man, yeah. Were you friends with Chris Hotze? Because we kind of, that was kind of...
I still am.
I did an episode with him a couple weeks ago. That was a big theme was his, you know, because he got ousted too for the fireworks in the trunk. He talked about that. Do you remember that?
No, I don't, but...
So, for those listening, the episodes haven't dropped yet, so they'll start dropping in about a month. I'll post the first one. But he went to... Nice. He had some fight. This was right kind of after 9/11. This was, I think, the end of our sophomore year it would have been. And he had some fireworks in his car from like a family trip over the weekend. And so they of course, have a zero tolerance and they can search your car. So I guess I forget what he had said because it's been a couple weeks since we had the interview, but they found some paraphernalia in his car of other things. And so they used that to search. And they found a bunch of explosives in the trunk in a public school parking lot. You know, I mean, fireworks, but still explosives. And so apparently they threw the book at him and he also had to graduate.
Dang.
Not from LD Bell, which I'd completely forgotten, right? Like all of these 20 years later, the memories all get mixed together. You know, in my mind, he was just with us in graduation out on the stage.
But I remember that there was a big ordeal about somebody... I can't remember if it was Steve Pratt or not, where they had just gotten done helping their grandmother move or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, that wasn't Steve.
They found like a cake spreading knife in the back of his truck.
Yep.
And they tried to not let him graduate. And he had just gotten, a scholarship to Harvard or something like that. And he was like a really good kid and they were trying to throw the book at him.
Good old zero tolerance policies. Yeah.
What are you going to do?
It was a butter knife, I think. Or not a butter. It was a bread knife. So like a knife for cutting bread. He had helped his grandma move. The knife had fallen into the bed of the truck and he didn't realize it was there. And that's so crazy. You also hear stories about like elementary school kids doing like the gun sign with their hands on the playground and getting, you know, expelled for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause this is all right. I don't remember what year Columbine was. It wasn't that recent. It had been.
It had been a few years.
It had been a few years, but even still, that was all in the ether and still is today, unfortunately. But yeah, they were not having that. I remember when we went to. I think it was the first time we went to Nationals at the RCA Dome. Somebody in our band had a shirt that said FBI on it, right? Like, you know, kids will wear those shirts that just say FBI,
right?
And he got stopped by the security and talked to about that, wearing a false, like, really?
Like, you're trying to impersonate an officer.
That's a really weird thing to call somebody out for. It wasn't as if they were pretending they were FBI. And what, right. Like, why would a terrorist want to do that? Like, it wouldn't help them at all anyway. Silliness. But that was those were our times. Oh, gosh. What do you remember 9/11? Like what, cause we were on the field. We were on the field at Bell.
Mm-hmm. So I was late to school that day actually. And I woke up late and it was just kind of one of those days where my mom's like, forget about it. I'll drive you to school. And, I was getting ready, like eating a sandwich or something, looking at the TV and I'm like, hey mom, some idiot ran into the World Trade Center cause it was on the news. Mm-hmm. And then, that was going crazy. And then we left. And by the time I got to school, my sign language class had just started. So we went in there and I was like, hey, turn on the TV, because we had those TVs in the corner. Right. And so we turned on the news and we saw the second plane hit in class.
Live.
Yeah, it was, It was pretty crazy.
Well, the wild thing too, I don't know if I mentioned this on the podcast or not, but I mentioned it to somebody recently. I didn't realize that the World Trade Center had almost all the antennas for the major news networks. And I think it was NBC was the only one that used the Sears Tower or whichever the other tall one is. And so there was only one person like covering 9/11 for that first few hours because nobody else could air anything. And so it was like one guy. I forget even who the newscaster was. But that's
crazy. Running around like a crazy person. Yeah.
Gosh.
I bet. I remember everybody was super confused.
Yep. That's when we became politically aware. We're like, oh, maybe we should start paying attention to the Middle East, the world issues. Yep.
You're right. That is about when it started to like click and make sense and make you start to think, hey, I do need to start keeping an eye on these sorts of things.
Ugh. Wild times. All right, and you were in band all 3 years, right? LD Bell.
I was not. I didn't. Okay, okay. I didn't do marching band in high school.
At all?
Nope.
Wait. Okay, now I'm just putting you into my memory. But you at least did that first season in 10th grade.
I think I did the first season in 10th grade. Yeah, and then I started playing softball, and that they told me that I had to choose because they required so much practice for both.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember Garrett Rosser tried to do football and marching band at the same time.
No, they told me no.
Yeah. Or he had wanted to. I feel like he did it for like, maybe they tried to see if it would work for a month or something.
Yeah. Because there was practice in the morning and in the afternoon, right?
Right. Yeah.
They had us come in at like 6 a.m. and run a mile and then go to school. I had barely enough time to run back home, shower and change, and then come back to school. And then after school, I guess we had practice until like 4 or 5.
Okay, so did you go to nationals with us that first year?
Not in high school.
Oh my god, how did I just copy and paste you into all my memories of marching band?
No, I remember we went to a couple of things. We went to, what was that, like Sandy something in junior high?
Yep.
That was pretty fun. I think, were there like amusement rides or something there?
Yes. Yeah, there was a concert we played, and what was that called? Dang, what was that place called? Sandy like Beach or Sandy Lake?
Sandy, yeah, something like
Lake.
That.
I think it was Sandy Lake.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't believe you were in a band. That's crazy.
No, I wanted to be.
Because then we had Jenny Pegram and Jenny Smith the next year. Now we have all sorts of tuba chicks joining.
Oh, cool.
So like I remember copy and pasting you all three together. That's wild. Okay, never mind. Sorry.
It's okay.
I just enjoyed you so much that I assumed.
No, I chose chess instead. So I played chess.
Chess is fun. I've been playing a ton of chess nowadays. Do you have chess.com, the app?
The app? No.
Yeah, there's a good app you can play online with people, like three days per move, so just so you have time. We should start playing together.
That's super cool. I'd be down for that. I bought my dad a chessboard.
The school I work at, almost like half the boys there are all into chess. It's a soccer school, so it's kind of a small, mostly boys, but they're like all play chess. It's kind of fun.
Where do you teach?
I teach in Euless, and it's a little school. It's a private school called Allegiance Academy, and they just do – it's like primarily a soccer school. So they have this world-renowned coach, and they go – like every semester they're off in like Italy playing showcases there. Right now they're actually – this weekend they're in Mexico. And so it's cool. They practice for an hour or two in the morning, and then they come to me and other teachers and get their core classes and stuff and electives. So they get the full diploma. It's a full private school, but it's like primarily just focus on the soccer aspect.
That's cool.
Which is nice because the behavior is great because they've just like run 6 miles like on the field practicing and then weight training and stuff. And then they come to me and they're too tired to basically be a distraction at all.
Right.
It's amazing.
What do you teach?
English, 9th and 10th grade.
Oh, nice. So,
yeah.
English was one of those subjects for me where I hated it all through middle school and high school and did everything I could to not be good at it. And then now, when I got shoved off into my regular life, I actually really enjoy writing.
Yeah. It can be therapeutic. And also the, I mean, it's true for every class, but the teacher matters, right? If you don't have a good English teacher.
Yeah, it definitely does. I had who do you remember? I don't know if this is going to get me in trouble, but
We can
I
always cut it. We can always
remember
cut it.
I think her name was like Miss Ashland or something like that. But I was friends with Aaron Dunn and Miranda and Jennifer and Julie and stuff like that. And we had like this little, I guess they call it like a slam book now, but I don't know. We were just kids and we were just like drawing cartoons of our teachers and like
Oh,
throughout the
yeah.
day and stuff like that. And she got a hold of it one day and she was furious. And she tried to get us all in trouble and stuff like that. That was kind of the first time I really kind of understood that you can't get into too much trouble in junior high, because I got sent to the principal's office. My mom came in and the principal was like, normally we would require a paddling. And I was like, a paddling? Like, you're gonna paddle me with a board? And they were like, well, and then here come the lady parts again. So he was like, yeah, but we
Yeah.
can't do that anymore because it might ruin your
Because of
lady
the
parts.
uterus. The
And
ovaries
I
might
was
be
like,
too
oh,
damaged by a pat.
uterus for the win. Thanks, man. But yeah, she did not like us again, probably because we were super disruptive or something like that. But no,
I don't remember that
she
name,
always made it
Ashlander.
really.
Well, it's funny you telling
I
all
don't know.
these
We called her.
stories. Our generation really was on that cusp of like paddling. Who paddles anymore, right? Like,
Who does
but I do
that?
remember my dad mentioned, like, I remember it was just 5 or 10 years before we got to high school, that was a regular thing, that just corporal punishment was part of it. And I think even my friend Christian Tobler, who went to he went to, oh gosh, what's the Cardinals, Fort Worth Christian.
Oh,
He went
yeah.
to Fort Worth Christian. I think they did paddle. I think they still use it on him. And he's our age, but
Oh.
our same graduating class. That's so wild.
Yeah.
A slam
I don't know
book.
what
I
they were
love it.
thinking. I don't know what happened to it either. But yeah, so I don't think that I ever really had a good English
An
teacher.
inspiring teacher, yeah.
My favorite teacher of all time was Jennifer Cruz. She taught I think she taught science in at Bell.
Jennifer Cruz, I don't remember her.
Yeah. Who were all the science teachers? Do you remember? There
I
was
had in
Miss
fact,
Fox.
I just talked to Miss George, who taught. There were two Miss Georges. I think one was, they might have both been science, but one was chemistry. Emily George that I talked to. We had Coach Green taught physics. Mr. Creed also taught physics.
Yeah, he was a good one too. I think I tased myself in his class one time.
That class was a trip. He was one of those teachers that was completely clueless as to what was happening more than 4 inches away from his face, right? So he was just teaching the lesson. He was lecturing, and there was all sorts of garbage going on. I remember
In the
Joey
background,
Barry
yeah.
playing the tank game on the computers because there were computers there. And there was one day, I'm so mad about this. There was one day where there were like, I looked around and there were like three kids asleep. There was like Joey was playing on the computer. Nobody was listening, and I was sitting there for once, like actually paying attention to his lecture. And I just happened to be playing with my tuba mouthpiece because I was like sliding it up and down a pencil because you could fit a pencil into it. And he looks at me. He's like, "Mark, can you please quit playing with that?" I was like, "Wait, hold
Wait a
on!"
second.
Like looking around me, nobody else is paying attention. I was so mad. I was like, "All right, well, screw you too. I'm not listening to any more of this garbage physics that could help me in life." You
Right.
tase. So how did you tase yourself?
Oh, somebody brought a taser, and like you were saying, like nobody was paying attention to anything that was going on. It was towards the end of class too, and it was broken. So like when you hit the button, the like it just like electrocuted off in the air, and I was like, "There's something wrong with this one." And I put my fingers on both of the little triggers.
Completed the circuit.
I did, yeah. Won't be doing that anytime soon.
That's amazing. I do remember a lot of just like jerry-rigged devices, like lighters that people would bring in that they had, you know, adapted for all sorts of purposes. And
where you like take off the thing and turn it way up and
yep,
big
yep.
flamethrower.
Flamethrowers, yeah. Good times. All right, let's skip forward. So what did you do after high school?
After high school,
how'd you make it to Denver?
I did. I moved to Austin with this really awesome girl that I met, and we were together for about 8 years. And I lived in Austin for probably about 6 years. I really liked it.
That's a pretty cool city.
Yeah. And then I was, I had gotten my EMT certificate and like license, and I was working for MedStar in Dallas for a little while. And then I started working for blood banks and figured out I made more money working for blood banks.
Yep,
so
yep.
I worked for the Blood and Tissue Center of Central Texas for probably about 6 years. And then our relationship was kind of coming to an end. So we both moved here to Denver, and then we broke up and lived together for about a year after that. And I stayed. And I really, here I am. I really like Denver. It's insanely expensive here, though. It's outrageous.
Colorado is always that, like, the pipe dream city that some of my family members and I always, like, anytime it's 115 degrees down here in Texas still, like, man, Colorado sure is seeming nice. Because we have some family in Colorado Springs and around that area that we visit sometimes. Like, it's so nice. We could just escape away from this dry Texas heat and get up there mountains and skiing and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah. I went snowboarding for the first time last year, and I am going to tell you, I've never cartwheeled down a mountain so hard in my life. It was awful.
It's rough.
I came out.
It's gonna be rough.
I didn't break any bones. That was good, but oof.
Thankfully.
That was a rough one. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I tried skiing once, and that was enough. After a couple wipeouts on the skis, and you hit that ice, and you, like you
It'll
say, getcha. Just cartwheel and tumble into the hard packed snow. Like, I don't think this is for me.
Yeah. But I stopped working for blood banks when I left Austin, and I started working construction. So I've been with this construction company for about 3 or 4 years. And they're really great. I really like them, and it pays a hell of a lot more than working for hospitals and blood banks and stuff like that. So I think I found myself a good little career.
Nice. Yeah. I've been drawn to the, like, teaching is hard because it's one of those jobs where it's really important, but it's hard to know how successful you're being. But, like, if you build a structure that stands up, like if you're in contracting and construction, it's like, I did that. Like, the lights work. I wired those lights. Now they work. I put up the drywall. Now it's there. It's like, it's really can be fulfilling to do something like, that's why I like the artwork I'm doing. Like, here's a thing that I made and now it's done. Whereas teaching, it'll be like 15 years later and a kid will reach out to you and be like, hey, I really appreciate it. Like, well, good to know now. I've been wondering if I've been doing any good for the last 15 years.
Yeah.
Not knowing.
I bet. Shaping tiny minds.
Yeah,
that's awesome, man. I'm super proud of you.
Well, you too. So, like, what kind of construction is it? Just kind of a little bit of everything?
No, we build new homes. So,
oh, nice. Yeah,
it is kind of fulfilling because I'll drive my son around town or whatever, and he's like, "I remember that. Is that your work?" And I'm like, "No, we gave it to the people who bought those places.
Yep.
Like, that's their home now." And so we get to drive around and see all the stuff that we did. And that's pretty fulfilling in its own way, but it's more of like a team building exercise, man, with all of these contractors and stuff, and getting them to get their stuff together and get it done on time and right and for the right amount of money. But I think it's going pretty well.
Nice. Yeah, it's also job security too. People are always going to need homes.
No, it's booming. They're actually talking about moving the football stadium and Elitch's, the like Six Flags or
Oh,
whatever,
wow.
out of the area so they can build more housing.
So
It's
it's
just,
great.
it's
If
like
you,
exploding.
there's an area over here where on the way to like Costco on 35, what is it, east west 35 west, and you can just, you're up on a higher elevation, you can just see houses for as far as the eye can behold, like 6 miles out. It's just a huge field of tiled roofs. It's crazy. So
Yeah.
many of us.
Yeah, for sure. My family still lives in Dallas.
Oh, nice. So are you down here a
Yeah.
lot to visit or no?
Yeah, sometimes. So my son is about to graduate first grade and start the summer, and I think I'm gonna ship him off to Granny's for the first part of summer before we go and take some road trips and stuff.
Nice.
So I'll be down there probably like the end of June.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah,
So
hang
yeah,
out.
we're coming up on 20 years, 20 year reunion. This summer I'll be
Yeah.
19, but ooh, it's rough.
Yeah, right? Are you, have you gone to any of the previous reunions?
No, I did. So I got into this with, I can't remember. Oh, I was talking to David Louthan. I don't know if you remembered him or if you were ever friends with him, but we were talking about the reunion. He came to one of my shows last weekend, but he they so what they did, and I think it was because of Davis's class. They, I guess they had a nice dinner and nobody came to it. They all just went to the happy hour, cocktail hour before.
You know what? I do remember listening to this one. Yeah.
And so Robbie, I guess Robbie, I think Robbie Allender organized it. So they wanted, they're like, okay, if you want to come to the happy hour, you have to also come to the fancy dinner. I was like, I'm not doing that. I'm just gonna go to the, and then I was about to leave and just do the happy hour night, and Claire Becking texted me and she was like, hey, they're checking to make sure that you were on the
Oh,
list. I was like, ugh. I was so mad because I was like, I'll just sneak in, and then anyway, so it was frustrating. But
have a drink
I
and
understand.
sneak
If you
up.
want to, if you want to plan, I don't envy them for planning it. It's like, it's more than I would want to do. But anyway, let's just go to a bar. And nobody wants to like go to a formal fancy dinner with people you don't
Yeah.
remember or didn't know to begin with, right? Like, let's just go chill
Or
out at Boys Ranch or
I don't know,
something.
like have an RSVP or something, right? Like I can't imagine that there's a whole lot of people who want to do the bar and the fancy dinner, you know what I mean? But
And we all got families, we're all doing stuff. We can't, give up two
yeah.
full nights and fly
Exactly.
in.
Hey, sorry by the way for bailing on you
Oh,
yesterday.
that's all right. No, it's no problem. I was like, oh, she
That day caught
forgot,
me
or Tom
completely
got
by
away from
surprise.
her.
No, I didn't. I didn't know if this would work like in the car or anything like that. And the kids were going
He
crazy.
texted me. I was like, no, just take the time. We got another day.
Well, thanks, man.
Sure.
So, do you think you're gonna go to this coming up 21?
I might. It kind of depends what's happening.
I kind of want to go.
It'll be
I
fun.
kind of want to go and see what everybody's up to. I
What
don't
is
want to
it?
do
The weird thing is,
anything
like,
crazy, though.
there were 650 of us, right? Like, and so it kind
Yeah,
of
we have a
depends on who's
huge
gonna,
class.
it's like who out of your group of people you knew is actually gonna be there and what's happening type of thing, or is it just gonna be people you don't remember?
Yeah.
But
So, yeah, I think I mentioned to you before that I wasn't actually in our senior class photo. I really miss that one 'cause I had ended up getting arrested and I was in Hearst jail.
oh no.
And I
All right, tell
know.
us
So
that story.
I have a class photo, but I'm not
You're not
in
in it. I could
it.
Photoshop you in it.
Oh my God, yes,
That
that
would be
would be
awesome.
amazing. Photoshop my seventh grade, our seventh grade face
Into
into
the senior year.
the senior year. I can't remember what happened exactly, but I got arrested so much throughout like Hearst, Euless, and Bedford because when I was a kid, I just never felt the need to pay for car insurance, and they
Oh,
kept
I see,
pulling
I
me
see.
over and giving me more tickets and more tickets. And then I figured out that you don't actually have to pay them; they'll just arrest you, and you can go and sit in their stupid jail and then sit it out, and I can save my $1,000.
Yeah,
So I did.
it's not cheap.
I did that for a while, and they got me one time, and It was right when we were wrapping up our senior projects. You remember?
I don't know.
Anyway.
Well, we yeah, I was in IB, so I think we did some. I think they substituted the something we did for IB for the senior projects.
Well, that's cool. That thing was a mess. Anyway, somebody, I think it was Patrice Jones,
Oh
was
yeah, I remember
doing
her.
her senior project on, I don't know, like law enforcement or something, and went and took a tour of Hearst jail. And she, I remember for her senior project, she took a picture of like the intake board and highlighted my name on it and put it really big on her little trifold
She was a
board
trip.
for her
Oh
presentation. I
my
was like,
gosh. Thanks,
dang
Patrice.
it.
Now,
Called
was
me
she went
out.
to her senior high, right?
She
Because
did,
I
yeah.
she
She was in my class for a lot of years.
I think she was the one that on the bus to school. I think we rode the same bus to school, and she would sing, "I'm sorry, Miss Jackson, I am for real. I didn't mean to," like, but just that part of the song. And so I've always known that part of that song, even though I've never been a huge hip hop R&B like fan at all until recently. I've been getting into it, but like, I will always credit her for introducing me to that, like on like yelling it on the bus. Anyway, good
That's
times.
hilarious. Yeah, she was a character. We didn't really get along a whole lot in like sixth, seventh, eighth grade. But I recently became friends with her on Facebook, and I think she's killing it too, man. She's doing a whole bunch of stuff with this really awesome nonprofit for like community and community building and gardens and food deserts and stuff like
Nice.
that, which is super interesting because when I first moved to Denver, I lived next to this really awesome woman. Her name was Austine Luce, and she was just barely getting her PhD in exactly that. And so I sat on her board of directors for her nonprofit that she was building, and we were doing the same thing here in like Montbello. Because of like all of the low-income housing and food desert coincidences that they have in those areas, it's always a lot of fast foods and not a lot of grocery stores and stuff like that. So, and we started doing community gardens and school gardens for the elementary schools out there, and then like going in their classroom and talking about food and making little kids worm bins and stuff like that. It was really
Nice.
awesome.
Yeah, that's one thing I mentioned in my talk with Miss George is like how it wasn't until the COVID lockdowns that I really understood that health is actually important. Like I'm getting, like in our 20s, we just all feel healthy. It doesn't matter what we eat. And now that we're like edging towards 40 and then COVID hits and like, oh, well, if you have this issue and this issue and this issue, it's worse outcomes. Like, wait a second, diet and health matters like in real life. Like it's a actual, like we should eat whole foods all and not just fast food all the time.
Yeah, COVID really drove it home, right? That was
That
a
and I've read a book called Salt, Sugar, Fat that's really good about basically just how the food industry packs as many calories into food as possible. And just like there's a bliss point for sodas where it's the maximum amount of sugar you can get into a drink before it tastes sickly sweet. And so they're like, this is the sweetest we can get it to taste before people are too sick of the sweetness. And so it's like literally they're packing as much sugar in there because it's obviously addictive. But
Ew.
yeah. And one thing you don't think about, it's like, well, you can actually, even if you're relatively poor, you can afford cheap food, but the cheap food is super unhealthy. It's like the reason it's cheap is because, they can process it and it can be on the shelf for years and not go bad, but it's basically just preservatives and salt and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But
And then they target low income communities to pack all of that stuff into also, which is weird.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's the people who are more affluent, will pay for healthier foods
Yeah,
because they
it is
can.
more expensive.
So bad system.
That's crazy.
Bad system. Well, I'm glad there are people out there like y'all and Patrice helping in that aspect.
Rock on.
We all need it. Cool. Well, this is going to be awkward because the quiz I had for you was over the Tubaline guidelines. So I don't know. You probably don't remember any of them.
Uh-oh.
They wrote them. Let's see. I'll just throw a couple past you and see if this is even rings a bell. So you're saying you didn't march with us at all?
Not in high school.
That can't be true, Bailey. That can't be true that you never marched with us.
It wasn't. Maybe in the beginning, for the first couple of weeks, I went to practices and tried to feel it out, but no, I didn't ever go down that path.
That is wild. That is so wild. Okay. So then let me, let's just do general trivia then.
Ooh. This will be all good. Right.
So you know Jeopardy. What? Actually, okay. So my friend that I used to teach with has a trivia. He does trivia night at a local bar just for as like a little side gig. So I've actually written some questions for them so I can read some of these to you. Okay. All right. This will be good. The seat of my pants here. All right. Before we do that, though, was there anything else you wanted to talk about just in terms of content, experiences, memories? You said your son's in first grade or is finishing first grade this year?
Yeah, he is. So he's doing really good, man. I've had him for probably about 5 years. About 5 years ago, my aunt died of everything cancer, and she left me a car and a kid in her will. This is actually my cousin's kid, but I've had him since he was one. So we've been living life.
That's amazing.
Being a parent's wild, isn't it?
Yeah. Was that something that you were expecting before it happened? Or was it like
no.
a lawyer no. showed up at your door with your son? Here you go.
Yeah, no, not at all. So she had called me 6 or 8 months before that and was like, hey, just one of those questions you ask me, you ask people is, if anything ever happens to me, would you be willing to take this kid? And I'm like, hell yeah. That's my family. Right.
Yeah.
And I don't know if she knew that she had, but she had less than 6 months to live basically. So maybe she knew, I don't know, but, no, I never planned on having kids or anything like that. I was going to go on about life, living my best single self.
Yeah.
But
you never know
he's
what the universe
been...
is going to drop in your lap.
no way, Jose. Yeah. I think it's actually been really great for me though, because aside from all of the wonderful things about being a parent, I think selfishly he saved me from nihilism too. Because yeah.
I can't imagine any other antidote to nihilism other than the next generation and helping pass something along.
Yeah. For sure. So he's a super sweet guy. He's incredibly smart and he's really kind. And so I don't know, we're just kind of hanging out, living our best lives, trying to do the best we can. I met this really awesome girl a couple of years ago. Her name is Sarah, and she has, she's a 5-year-old, so, or 6-year-old. So right now they're 6 mm-hmm. and 7.
Yeah.
And, she's a really great person and a wonderful mom. And it's just been an absolute pleasure watching her, kind of do all of the things right in my eyes and showing me how to be a calm, patient person.
It's hard. It's hard. That's one thing I was talking to Chris Hosey about that. It's like, I didn't realize how impatient I was until you have somebody that's 100% reliant on you and it's no longer about you anymore. It's like, wait, I still have things I want too, though.
No, I know. Right. So it's wild. It's been a good journey though, I think. So I don't know. I am a dish master. All I do is cook and clean that, his kitchen.
Yeah. That was the one thing when they said it's a lot of work raising a kid. I was like, oh, they meant mostly dishes. It really was.
Mostly, right? Yeah.
It's like all some laundry. Laundry's bad too, but it's just I was at the sink all the time when our kids were
dishes.
That young.
Oh yeah. I spend the majority of my time taking taking the underwear out of the pants, like
Yes,
separating
yes,
the
yes.
two. Jeez Louise.
Turning him inside out if you're being nice to
Yeah.
him.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, it makes less work for me later on
I
down the
know.
road.
My youngest daughter, she just wears them inside out. That's how she prefers it, because she's weird about the seams. So we let her go to school with inside out pants and all sorts of.
I feel you, girl.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
That's awesome. How many kids do you have?
Two girls. Yeah,
Nice.
one
How old are
is
they?
8 and 6 right now. They're like 2.5 years apart, so it's hard to remember if it's half if it's 2 or 3 years apart during depending on the birthday.
Right.
But
Yeah.
they're wild, man.
Do you guys, are you guys birthday party people? Do you go to like all the class birthday parties
We
and
go to
stuff?
most, yeah, we do. Yeah, luckily my wife will take some of that responsibility. It's weird as a dad going to the girls' ones because it's almost exclusively moms, even though like
Yeah.
dads are much more active. Like I've noticed just in general, I was a stay-at-home dad for the first 3 years for our oldest, and I was impressed with how many dads do it. But at the birthday parties, it's like you go and it's all these girls doing girly stuff, and it's mostly moms. I'm just sitting there like I don't know what to do here. I can't break into this social hierarchy. So like,
You're just
Sally,
in the
could you
corner with
please
your
take me?
beer watching the
Yeah,
show go down.
exactly. If I'm lucky, they have beer. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
It's funny too, because I'm all expert on the like Encanto and Frozen and all the girl shows. My sister has three boys, and I'll try to mention stuff. Like, Anna from Frozen when she's, got the, like, no, Mark, I don't know, because we've never seen Frozen. I don't watch Frozen. It's all Lego Movie and boy stuff over there, but
I really actually love this stage because now I get to buy like the really awesome giant packs of
I'm
Legos
with
and
you.
like
In
sit
fact,
down and
wait, watch
build.
this, watch this.
Oh my God, yes! That's what
I
I'm
got Luke's
talking
X-Wing
about.
for the audio listeners, which is all of you. Yeah, I use it as an excuse to buy myself Legos now because they're old enough. We just like last year broke into the normal non-Duplo Legos.
The tiny Legos, yeah.
Yep.
He I asked him to clean his room earlier and he came out because we have like a tub of
Yep.
tiny Legos and we just got into it probably about last year because he was like putting tiny things in his mouth. I don't know where in the heck that phase came from, but I was like, yo man, you can't have tiny Legos in your life and like build all the cool things if you're just gonna eat them. And so like I gave him shit for it for quite a while until he finally was like, all right, if you buy this, I pinky promise I won't put them in my mouth. And I was like, all right, let's try it. And now we're gung ho about it.
Y'all do the
That's
video
funny.
games too? Do you have any consoles? Because
Yeah,
that's
I'm
about
a
the age they
pretty
can start kind of playing them with some ability.
I don't know how this is gonna sit well with other parents, but he sits down and plays Call of Duty and like Fortnite and stuff with me.
Nice, yeah.
And I've recently gotten him into like we got a Switch, so now it's all about Mario.
Yes.
And I busted out like my old school Game Boy for him and I was like, this one you
Yeah.
can take in the car. And he's like, why is it not in color? I was like, all right, you
Those were
calm
the
down.
days. I think I had the Game Boy Color when it first came out. It was like a purple one. I think that was like the first time they sold it was the purple Game Boy Color with Pokemon, whatever, yellow. Good
Heck
times.
yeah,
Oh my
we were so
gosh.
cool.
We were so cool. But did you play Pokemon card game, the card game? Probably not.
So like I tried to collect the Pokemon cards, but it never really sat. I guess I was probably more of like a magic kid, like into those magic
Yes,
cards instead.
I want to get back into Magic. David Louthan again. He posted the other day some cards he had bought online. I was like, oh man, I really love those.
It's
That was a fun
fun.
fantasy
You
game.
know what I never got into though? That I really want to do now. I want to find a D&D group.
Yeah, same. Well, it's funny how it's all coming back and becoming much more mainstream, right? Like Stranger Things helped that, and all the nerd culture has like become the culture in a lot of regards, which
Heck
I'm
yeah,
so happy about.
I'm here for it, absolutely.
Yep.
And you know why, like all of these awesome nostalgic things? It's because we're the grown-ups now.
I know, right? Yeah.
Right?
I was
Check
talking to a
that
friend. It's
out.
like when we go into restaurants, it's like our generation's music they play because we're their target audience now. Like, wait a second. Yeah.
Sitting there grocery shopping.
I know this Eiffel 65
Sorry,
song.
Sorry, Miss Jackson.
Yeah, exactly. Good times. All right. Well, let's get to the trivia here because I've taken up too much of your time. I appreciate it. It's funny doing this podcast too because it's like, you know, we're old friends, but who haven't seen each other in 20 years. Like, how much should I expect people to just sit down and give up an hour of their lives? So this is awesome. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no worries, man. Thanks for having me.
All right. Here's your first question, Bailey. There are roughly 9 different land mammals that can run over 45 miles per hour. Name 4.
Okay. So let's do a cheetah.
Correct.
Panther.
Let's see.
Like a black panther?
Not a panther.
All right. How about a mountain goat?
No, usually it's the predators. I don't think it's going to be. It's, I think, almost. Well, no, that's not true. That's not true. But no, mountain goat's not on here.
How about a lion?
Correct. Yes, lions can.
Let's say a horse.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah.
And then think like escaping from the lions or cheetahs.
Ooh, a gazelle.
Correct. Yes, gazelle. All right. The others are antelope, wildebeest, reindeer, and hares and jackrabbits also.
Ooh,
they can
jump
run
really
real fast.
Too.
Yeah, 45 miles per hour. That's fast.
That's pretty fast.
All right. I'm going to list 5 items from 1950. For each one, tell me whether you could purchase that item for 25 cents or less that year.
From 1950?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Could you purchase a gallon of milk for less than 25 cents?
I'm going to say yes.
No. 82 cents cost you a gallon of milk. Okay. What about a McDonald's burger and fries?
I'm going to say like 10 cents in 1950.
You're correct that you could get them for, yes, it was they were 25 cents though. Rock a burger on. And fries. Burger. Oh, sorry. Did I say fries?
I don't know.
Yeah, burger and fries, 25 cents. That's nice. So cheap. Speaking of unhealthy food being expensive. What about a gallon of gas?
Ooh, no.
Correct. It was 27 cents, 1950. Okay, what about
for a gallon?
A gallon of gas, 27 cents. In 1950. What about a dozen eggs?
For less than 40 cents?
Less than 25.
Oh, less than 25.
Less than a quarter or less.
Yes.
No, those were the most. No, a dozen eggs was 60 cents. Milk was
still the most
expensive. I know, right? And then last but not least, a loaf of bread.
Yes.
Correct. 14 cents. 14 nice. Cents. Nice. All right. I'll stop there. I'm sorry. I forgot you weren't in band with us. That's so lame.
That's okay.
That's so lame. Right. Well, thanks for doing this. This was fun. It's good
awesome.
To see
I
you.
Had a great time. Yeah. Thanks so much, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Reminiscing on the shenanigans of junior high. I do have a prepared statement for you. Hold on. Let's see. All right, Bailey. Because of your groundbreaking bravery, I am sincerely grateful and better for having known you. You are one of the hundreds of kind, generous, and benevolent people I know in a world where we need every single one we can get. So keep being awesome, doing awesome things, raising an awesome kid, and like I said, fighting the power.
Yeah, thanks, man. You too.
Well, thanks for the support, and thanks for the time again. Sorry if I cut into the family time. Looks like they
you're all right.
Send them off to a movie.
Yeah, they all took off to a movie.
They doing Mario?
All right. Now I get some alone time. I think they are, actually.
We need to go do that at some point. So
I'll go and catch up with them.
Yep. All right.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Mark. Yep. It was good to
Appreciate
see you.
It. You too.
Have a good day, man.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, guys. Before the outro, just wanted to remind you that the How the Heck Have You Been podcast is brought to you by the Art by Marker deck of playing cards. So I hand drew the artwork for all 52 cards plus 2 jokers. It's pretty sweet. Head over to our website, artbymarker.com. to check him out and support this one-man show. Thank you. All right, that was the show. Thanks for listening, everyone. Today's episode was recorded by Mark Dye. Our editor is Mark Dye, and he is also the executive producer. The intro and outro music was composed by Mark Dye in high school. It's really just me doing this. To support the How the Heck Have You Been podcast, visit artbymarker.com and buy some cool art. Thanks, y'all.